Good evening, everyone. It's nice to see you all. Welcome to the fourth installment of our Rebbe's series. We've done the Baal Shem Tov. We've done Rav Yaakov Yosef of Polnoya. We've done the Maggid of Mezrich. And now we're up to Rav Nachum Twersky of Chernobyl. So every time you hear the name Twersky, and you know that they are direct descendants of Rav Menachem Nachum Twersky of Chernobyl. He is a very, very important person within the line of Rebbes. He, in particular, because you can see from his years, he lived from 1730 to 1797, which means he had the opportunity to learn by the Baal Shem Tov in his youth. And in his older years, he learned by the Maggid of Mezrich. What is interesting about him is even though he learned in his older years by the Maggid of Mezrich, he did not have a court that he built up around him. He did not have, as the Maggid set up, we spoke about that last week, the Maggid set up the Hasidic court in the style of the nobility. He did not set that up. But he was more of the normative community rabbi. He was the rabbi of Poribishch. Sounds good to me. And also later the rabbi of Chernobyl, both of which it seems we don't know a lot because there's not a lot of there's not a lot of information about him biographically, but it does not seem that he has he had any kind of run-ins with the Misnagdim in this area. Which is also one of the reasons that there is current belief that except for Vilna, which was kind of the ground zero for the war between Hasidim and Misnagdim, as you headed farther and farther through the areas of Poland and Ukraine, you would not find as much conflict amongst the various factions there. And it seems like Rav Menachem Nachum Twersky of Chernobyl was able to be a community Rav for many, many years. He was also a Maggid, which was also a community position that you would go out and you would give drushas at the various shuls. He was a Maggid for many years. That being said, in some of the more virulent texts of the anti-Hasidic realm, he is mentioned in specifically. Again, there's no indication that he fought wars, that there was any controversy over his hiring in various communities, but in a number of them of the anti-Hasidic texts, he is mentioned as an individual who they were very much against. My sense is that he was probably enemy number one because he was mainstream, right? He was the normative rabbi. He paskin shilas. He learned halachic texts. He gave the drasha in shul. He, you know, comforted people in their time of need, and he celebrated with people when they needed him, and he raised money for the local charities, and he did all the things that rabbis do. And so from that perspective, he was the most dangerous person. You know, the Maggid of Mezrich, for, you know, the Baal Shem Tov, the Rav Yaakov Yosef, for sure, Rav Yaakov Yosef of Polnoya, these people were outsiders. You know, some of them were ascetics, some of them were, you know, creating newfangled ways of serving God, and they were, you know, overly mystical. And while, and we already pointed out that mysticism was not as taboo in those days, let's say, as it is now, but even someone like Rav Menachem Nachum Twersky of Chernobyl is much more normative. He's much more mainstream. So that's an important point. So who was his main influence, and why is he important to the chain of tradition of Hasidus? And again, Hasidus can't be viewed as kind of a direct trajectory. It's more like a tree. You have the Baal Shem Tov and the Maggid, and then kind of everything breaks off into its branches. So we saw that there was already a tension. The Baal Shem Tov was a big fan of what we called Avoda Begashmius, that he was a big fan of that we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the material world. You know, you eat and you serve God. You work and you serve God. You enjoy a sunset and you serve God. Avoda Begashmius, you know, that every part of the universe is, you know, is filled with the chiyus, with the life force of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and our job is to find those sparks. We saw, so that was very much the Baal Shem Tov. The Magid a little bit less. The Magid was more interested in kind of the systemic ways that we can appreciate God, that we can create dveikus with God in various areas of our lives, whether it be through tefillah, etc. There's not conflict, it's just different stresses. So in terms of where Rav of Chernobyl falls, he falls more in the realm of the Baal Shem Tov than he does in the realm of the Magid. So one of the things you're going to see is a lot of the terminology would be, I guess, terminology that he learned from the Baal Shem Tov. That being said, the works of the Magid are going to be influential as well. So here's one of the things I discovered. He's very readable. That's one thing I discovered about some of my forays into Rav Tversky's works. He's very readable. He's very insightful. His works are filled with the same type of terminology that we've seen in other Hasidic, in the three other Hasidic works that we've seen so far. And I'll give a little introduction to that. What's interesting is the Me'or Einayim al HaTorah, which is his book of drashos. They're drashos on the Torah. They are steeped in mystical philosophy and Hasidic philosophy, but they're very much drashos. And the Yismach Lev are interpretations of agadot, of homiletical sections of the Gemara, and they are also very much involved. You know, they're very much, you know, part of the mystical tradition of interpretation. And that's where in the Yismach Lev in particular, he gets more in what we would call the more creative Hasidic interpretation. And I'm going to give you an example of one of those. We're going to do a section of the Yismach Lev for this evening. He's very important, again, also because he preserves. Hasidim were not ones for writing down their Torah thoughts. They were usually written by others. Even the great Tanya was actually written by students, although it was edited heavily by the Alter Rebbe. But the Hasidic works were, on the whole, written not by the Rebbes themselves, but by their students who preserved their Torah, although we think that it's very, very authentic. The question is, and this is something I remember, I'll quote one of my teachers, Rabbi Shalom Karmi. One of the things he pointed out, when you read Hasidus, you'll get some heavy mystical stuff. The question is, was anything being edited out, right? If you know that the Misnagdim are going to be reading these works also, was there heavier mystical stuff that was being said, that was being edited out by the copyists, you know, in order that, you know, Ma Yomru HaGoyim, or more Ma Yomru HaMisnagdim, what will the Misnagdim say if we let this stuff get out? So it's a possibility that there was even heavier stuff. That being said, we're going to read some pretty serious Hasidus tonight. The problem I found with the Rav of Chernobyl's works is that the ones, at least, that are available on HebrewBooks.org they all look like this. So as you can see, this is the 19th century publication of the work. It is not simple to read, so I tried my best to bring it out of that. So what I did was I took the assumption that at least this work has is that you'll know whatever Gemara he's quoting here, and he can just go on and wax, you know, poetic on the Gemara. But at least for me, that wasn't the case. I had to go look up the Gemara inside. So what I tried to do here, and you can see I made a little bit of a chart, is I put all the way on the right, I have the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Hei Amud Beis, which is the Gemara we're going to deal with. The middle is the translation from Sefaria. I believe it's the Steinsaltz translation. And then on the left is selections, or mostly the selections, from the Yismach Lev, from Rav Tversky's work, which correspond to the various Gemaras. Okay, so I did it like that in order, that's the way I had to write it out in order to understand it. So I figured I would do that for you guys also to help you see what I was doing. But I'm going to read it from the original and you'll do your best to follow along here on the left side. But let's start with the Gemara in Brachos, because that's not even bothered to quote in this text that I have before me. So as we're all aware, the Gemara in Brachos is steeped in some of the oddest and most interesting and creative agadot, which also makes it fertile ground if you are a mystical chassid and you're looking for areas of interpretation. It's very fertile ground. This has been true of the Gemara in Brachos for generations, going all the way back to the Maharsha in the 16th century, or 17th century, going all the way up to Rav Kook, more contemporaneously. Also, some of his most interesting and creative commentary is in his Ein Aya on the Gemara in Brachos. So let's see the Gemara in Brachos. So the Gemara in Brachos says, Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Abba Binyamin Omer, Abba Binyamin says as follows, Al Shnei Dorim Hayisi Mitzda'er Kol Yamai. Two things stressed me out my entire life. What were the two things that stressed him out his entire life? Al Tfilasi Shetehelin Lifnei Mitasi. He says, number one, that my prayer should be Lifnei, in front of my bed, ve'almitasi, or on my bed. Ve'almitasi sheteini nitsuna bein safon ledarom. So he says, and what was the second one? That my bed should be facing from north to south and not east to west. Those were my two things that kept me up at night. Okay, we should all be zolcha to have such worries. Okay, so the Gemara starts explaining, Al tefila si sheteilef ne mitasi. So what does this mean, that I want my tefila to be in front of my bed? My lefne mitasi, what does that mean? I lema lefne mitasi mamash. If you say mamish, I want it to stand and daven in front of my bed. So v'ha amar Rav Yehuda, didn't Rav Yehuda amar Rav say, v'item Rav Yishu ben Levi, or some people say it was Rav Yishu ben Levi, l'mayin l'mitzvalel, shelo yedavar chotzeit l'beino l'vein akir. Didn't we learn about someone who davens that there should be nothing separating between him and the wall? Shneamar, as it says in Yishayahu, that when Chizkiyahu HaMelech was very sick, what did he do? Vayasev Chizkiyahu panav el hakir vayispalel. Right? That Chizkiyahu, what did he do? He turned towards the wall and he davened. So he was lying on his bed, but where he didn't want anything to be separating between him and the wall. So the Gemara corrects the Braisa. The Gemara says, Lo tema lifnei mitasi. Don't say that the Braisa reads lifnei mitasi, in front of my bed. Rather, ella ema samuch lemitasi. What do you say? I want it to be close to my bed, right? Adjacent, right next to my bed. And here Steinsaltz points out, based on Rabbeinu Hananel, that it's referring here to the Shema, which he says right next to his bed. So that's part number one of the Gemara. The second thing...
What's it called? Kriya Shema? Kriya Shema lifnei hamita.
It's called Al Hamita.
Oh, Al Hamita, right.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Al Hamita, right.
Yeah, so, yeah. Okay, we're not dealing in the realm of Psak here anyway. Okay. All right, what about his second worry that kept him up night? That kept Abba Binyamin up at night? V'al mitasi shei nisuna bein safon ladarom. Says the other thing that kept me up at night was that I wanted my bed. I really needed my bed to be facing north to south and not east to west. Why? Da amar Rabbi Chama b'Rabbi Chanina amar Rabbi Yitzchak. So Rabbi Chama b'Rabbi Chanina said in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, Kol hanosein mitaso bein safon l'darom. Anyone who has his bed facing north to south, Havyan lei banim zacharim. That person will give birth to male children. Shneamar v'tzafoncha timalei bitnam yispeu banim. Right, and it says in Tehillim, if you fill your belly with treasure, tzafoncha, you'll have sons of plenty. You'll have lots of children, lots of boys. That's number one. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says even better. Amar av einishto mapelis nefilim. So too. Right? If you have your bed facing north to south, you're not going to give birth to, or you won't have any stillborns or any miscarriages. Right? Ksiv hacha v'tzafun cha malei bitnam, uksiv hasam v'yimalu yameha, hinei tomim bivitzna. So right here in Tehillim, what did we read? It says, It says, "Utzafuncha timalei bitnam." Your treasure will fill up. The word "malei bitnam." So here it makes a gzeira shava, where it uses the same word that it says about Rivka, vayimleu yameha. Right, she had a full pregnancy, meaning there was no miscarriage. Laledes v'neisomim bivitnah, and she ended up giving birth to twins. All right, so this is the Gemara. Without any Hasidic interpretation, this Gemara is cryptic to say the least. Interestingly enough, we actually paskin la halacha based on this Gemara. Just as an aside, number one is we paskin that if you're davening in front of a wall, you shouldn't have anything between you and the wall, right? You should just be you to the wall. That's the best way to daven. Number two is the Shulchan Aruch says la halacha that your bed should be facing north south, not east west. Okay, so for those of you who are like going back and thinking about your homes now and to see if your beds are facing north-south or east-west, so go ahead. That's Jewish feng shui for you there. Okay, so that's number one. Okay, number two is, what the heck does this Gemara mean? So there are a lot of different interpretations. The Marsha has his own interpretation. You can find Rashi has a little bit here. You know, if you want to pick up an Ein Yaakov, you can find your own Ein Yaakov. Is this meant to be taken literally? So from the perspective of the Rav of Chernobyl, the answer is absolutely not. There's absolutely nothing literal about this Gemara, but there's a heck of a lot more going on here. Okay, so let's read what the Rav of Chernobyl says. So you can see there, on the side, on the left side, I'm going to try, if I put in three dots or if I skipped a little bit, I apologize. In ellipses. All right. Hine kol adam mikabel mochin shelo mikidmas haseichel hamochin heim arba. Okay, so person gets mochin. What's your moach? Anyone know where your moach is? Moach is your brain, right? Your moach. So every person gets a brain, right? We're like the scarecrow. Every person gets a brain. But you get it from the four. What does this mean? So mochin, we already learned, for those of you who remember all the way back to the Magen of Mezritch last week, we learn that the Magen of Mezritch used to talk about Gadlus HaMochin and Katnus HaMochin. Gadlus HaMochin was when you were connected up with the spiritual highs. Katnus HaMochin was kind of the spiritual lows, the doldrums. But Mochin, what does it mean? It means where your brain, right, your intellect, is connected to the flow that's coming from the four above, from the four highest spherot of the spherotic realm. That's good time, right? Everyone wants to get mochin. Mochin is good times. Mochin means you're getting the dveikus, the unio mystica that we're looking for. We're that closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means you're plugged in. That's what mochin is. Okay, mochin. V'amakabel mochin, anyone who has mochin, mechuna, that person is referred to, he's nicknamed Mita. That person is called a bed. Why is that person called a bed? Because that person's called a bed. That's union, right? Things that happen in the bed are about union. Okay, so, right, and why is the bed important? Hu kli sheikablu ba hamochin, right? That's where unification happens, right? Unification happens in the bed, so the bed is the vessel by which mochin is achieved. Okay? Ki Yisrael nikru'u al shem kaviyachol mitaso shel Shlomo. And Israel, right, is referred to in Shir HaShirim, mitato shel Shlomo, the bed of Shlomo, or the sofa, or the couch of Shlomo, more correctly. Okay? So Israel, as a whole, has the potential to accept upon itself the mochin, this great spiritual connection from above. Hamekabel mochin kanoda, right? That we are the Jewish people who we, as everyone is aware, we are the acceptors, the ones who are plugged in most to the Holy One, blessed be He. Vihine ha'adam, b'tfilatoshi lashon chibur udvekut mekabel mochin milamala, excuse me. When do we get this mochin? When do we have this spiritual connection? We reach this spiritual connection when? During davening. Aval, however, kodem shemispalel umisdabek, before a person davens and has the dveikus, right? He unifies himself with Hashem. Ein lo mochin, right? Gavalt. He doesn't have the mochin. He doesn't, right? Before you actually go about and daven, what happens? You don't have the connection. V'zehu sha'amar al tefilas ishi tehein lifnei mitasi. What did he say? He says, that's what Abba Binyamin is worried about. He's worried that his tefillah was lifnei, was before the mitah. Right? That he was worried, I don't have a proper clay kibul, I don't have a proper vessel to accept the mochin, and yet I'm going to pray. He says, so I'm always worried that I'm going to be a proper vessel for which to have this connection with God. Right? Lifnei mitasin kodin shehei b'chinas mitash az miskasheres miskabelas amochin. So he says, I'm always worried. I'm always worried that my tefillah should be in such a way that I will be able to have this type of connection. Uparich, so what's the Gemara's question? If you remember, the Gemara's question was, wait a minute. What are you telling me? There's not allowed to be anything separating between you and the wall. So how can you be in front of your mitah? Ufarich, the Gemara's question is, Salka daitach, I would have thought, Dibelo mochin havi chatzitza beino levein akir, she'eno mekushar bebori yisparach v'nisak hakesher. So he says, what would I have thought? That without mochin, what would I be? There would be a chatzitza, there would be something separating between me and the wall, meaning that I wouldn't be mekushar, I wouldn't be connected, plugged into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'avi chatzitza b'nehem. And there would be what? There would be something separating between them. Kinyan shenemar avono seichem hayu magdilim. Right, that what is it? What are the things that separate between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Our sins, our failures, our iniquities, those separate us. Like it says in Shir HaShirim, that where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He's outside, looking in from the window, meaning he's not connected to us. Rotze Lomar, what does that mean, he's not connected? She'ein lo mochin de gadlus, havi ka'o meirachar kosleinu. Now what's going on when, right, and here he uses the word kosel, right, when we have no mochin, when we're not plugged in, when we're not, when our brains, when our minds, when our intellects are not properly plugged into the Holy One, blessed be He, so what happens? Hashem is omeid achar kosleinu. He's beyond us. He's separated from us. Ukishaba mochin. But when you get it, when you're plugged in, az mashkiach min achalanos. So then what happens? Then all of a sudden you can start seeing him through the windows. Shumi lashon chaluna pnei el. That is, you're sick with love for the face of God. Umishani, so what's the Gemara's answer? Ela ima samach lemitasi. What does that mean? Not on my bed, or before my bed, but beside my bed. Rotzel Omar, what does that mean? Shayam istar shetechef sheyatchil itpalel. He says he was worried that as soon as he started davening, yushpa alav shefa, all of a sudden this great pouring of spirit is poured upon him. Shefa rav mochin shelo v'itkasher lamala b'zivuk shalim. He was always worried. He wanted to make sure that what? That whenever he davened, it wouldn't just be that he was connected, but he wanted it to be a full and complete union, a zivug shalem, a complete union. V'zeu shetei smucha l'mitasi. I want it to be right there, smucha, right next to it, without anything separating it. Uma shetoma shamar lifnei mitasi. He says, when it says only before, v'lo amar behedya smucha l'mitasi, hu leharos sheshnia emes v'shahatchala hi kodem lachein. What's it saying? It's saying it's not both wrong. Lifnei and samuch are both right. Right? The ayideh his orus magialo. And all of it happens how? When you inspire yourself on the inside. When you inspire yourself on the inside, sometimes you'll get lifnei mitasi. Right? you'll be connected, but not fully connected. Okay? But sometimes you get even more than that. What do you get? Samuch lemitasi, you get the full connection. Achar kach uvike sheyeh samuch me'od. What did he want to be? He wanted to be super duper connected. V'lo ye'acher ve'avshar she'mechuna b'lashon mita ki anu mekablin ayidei ashchina hanikra mita v'dalad mochim hein dalad ragle amita v'avein. Says, and why mita? Why is it called? Because there are four posts on the bed, the four spheros.
Of course.
Beautiful, gorgeous, right? So the whole thing is not about where you should be davening. The whole thing is about our connection with the Holy One, blessed be He.
Through the bed.
Through mochin, through the bed, through union, yeah. Divine union. Lifnei, what is lifnei? Lifnei is connection, but not complete connection. Samuch means mamish right next to it, complete connection. What's the mita? The mita is the vessel by which one becomes connected to the Holy One, blessed be He. So he turns a cryptic Gemara into a cryptic mystical statement. Okay? Beautiful. Gorgeous. Okay. Next one. My bed was tzafon to darum, right? He wants a north-south, not east-west. Sham v'alta mitasiche netuna bein tzafon ledarum, damar rabbi chama, v'amri la amar rabbi yud, who is it, rabbi shmal? Kol nosi mitasiche bein tzafon ledarum, havi lambanim zecharim, v'nachem bar yitzlak amar af im yishtom mashas nefilim. So what's that? What's up with that one, the north-south one? So he says, Hine masha anu omrim kodim kol mitzvah, l'shem yichud kutcha barichu ushrintei. Right, before, right, everyone becomes a Kabbalist. It's Sfiras HaOmer time. Everyone becomes a Kabbalist on Sfiras HaOmer time. Right, we're Tiferes Shebechesed, Chesed Shebegvura. We're going up the Sfirotic realm. For those of you who didn't count the Omer, this is your reminder. Okay, so, right, so before every minute, we say the Shem Yichud for the purposes of a Yichud, right? To bring unity to the Holy One. So just so you know, this was something that was a controversial statement from the beginning, because who are we to call upon? God is one. What does it mean we're calling upon God's oneness? But as we've already probably noticed, Kabbalists can get away with saying things that other people can't. So he says, why are we saying this? Hainyan, this isn't to mean. Hainyan hu kine Hashem Yisparach nasan v'chol davar kedusha v'chayus. God invested everything with holiness and life force. U'befrat, be'osios ha-Torah. Specifically, what is carrying the life force? The letters of the Torah. V'gam bekarav ha'adam hu chelek elolah mimal. So too, in each and every human being, there is a bissel. A shtickle, a little bit, a spark, chelek eloka mimahal, a spark from above. Shenishpa bo chayus mehabore baruchu, uvaruch shemo. Right, that is what? That is poured out from the Holy One, blessed be He. It's in you, it's in every one of you, from the Holy One, blessed be He. Ukshe adam me'amin, shabore baruchu malel kol ha'aretz kevodo. When a person believes, not just thinks about it, but believes, mamish, that everything in this world exists, that everything is filled with the light and the sparks and the life-giving force of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here, quote, right, from the Zohar that the Baal Shem Tov made famous, V'les atar panui minei, and what? And there is no place that is empty of him. Everything is filled with the light, the spark, the life force of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Azai, therefore, ba'aso so shum mitzvah. Therefore, when he does a mitzvah, or betfilah, or when he davens, kishemidaber hadiburim, when he says the words, b'chol kocho, with all of his power, uvehis lazvus, and with great feeling and intensity, Azai mitabik babore baruchu. What does he do? He cleaves. He becomes one with the Holy One. Ayidei hadibuk. Right? Through this dveikus. Why? Again, quote from the Gemara and the Zohar. Ki oraisa v'kudsha barichu chad. Because the Torah and the Holy One are one. So when I say the words of the Torah, when I read the words of the Torah, what am I doing? I am uniting. I am uniting. I am becoming one with the Holy One. Ukeshe mesim chayus ba dibor o ba mitzvah. And when you give, when you recognize this life in these words or in your mitzvah, as midabek hachalosh shochein bekirbo. Therefore, what happens? The light that is inside of you becomes unified by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hu milashon shechina. That's what shechina means. V'zeo nikra yichud. That's what a yichud is. Yichud is when the light inside of you becomes joined, becomes merged with the light that is behind the words that you are reciting, the mitzvah that you are performing, then you are one with God. Perush milashon zivug. What's the terminology? Zivug. Coupledom. Couplehood. Back to the bed. Vuhu zivugim elyonim. Right? These are, it's not mundane types of coupling that we're talking about, but it's zivugim elyonim on high. Shemizaveg chayus hadibor v'hamitzvos v'chayus sheshochein b'kirbo. Hakol el HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The life-giving force inside of him and the life-giving force of the mitzvah that you are performing, of the words that you are saying, they become joined all into one, into God. Ki b'chol davar hu habore yisbarach u'kemo be'alef alfei havdalos ad ein ketz v'ein tachlis b'zivok ha-tachtonim ha-gashmim I efshar ki im b'yira v'ahava. So how do I take my material world and connect it up with this this light of God, which is 10,000s and thousands upon times greater than what's going on inside of me? Two things. I need yira and ahava. I need awe of Hashem, and I need love of Hashem. Yira. Shimisyari shelo yargishu. Right? Yira, what does it mean? Not you fear that God's going to hurt you. You fear that you're not going to feel God's presence. V'ahava gamkin kemo ve'elef alfei avdalos od ein ketz ve'ein tachlis hazivuk hayelon. Right? He says, and love, love that is overwhelming, overpowering, beyond anything that exists. V'efshar ki im al yedei yira v'ahava. But this unity, this zivug, can only happen with awe and love. V'az keshu ose ba'ava v'yira, if you do your mitzvos, if you say your words with ahava and yira, azai im lomed o mispalel, so when you learn or you daven, azai b'vaday yez zocher b'bori yisbarach baruhu. What are you going to do? You're going to be zocher. You're going to remember. It's going to be on your mind. The Holy One, blessed be He. Av sheyivsok acharkach milumod o milasos mitzvah. But even if afterwards you say, you know, you got to finish learning at some point. You got to, the mitzvah is done at some point. Even after hol v'nikshur b'baruch baruchu, what's going to, since you were in that moment, you were merged, you were mezuvag, you were united with the Holy One, blessed be He. Azai zocher mashlomed ve'osa roshem b'selcho. What happens? It stamps its memory upon you. It's there. You're zocher the whole time. V'yedeze nishba shum hasaga v'chayus me'abaruch baruch hu. What happens? You have the life-giving force from the Holy One, blessed be He. V'yuchal gam kein la'ashpia yedei ma'asav. Shefa la'nivraim mash'in kein k'shu oseh b'lo yira v'ava. What can you do when you walk away from your tefillah, from your Torah learning, with that connection still stamped upon you? You can now light all those other lights that are going on around you in the world. You'll connect in all those other places where you can find connections.
A form of elation.
Exactly, exactly. But if you don't do it, then what happens? Azai, Avsho said, Mikoma kom inu nikshar baboris barachu, the inu nishba boshum hasaga vachayus aideza, the inu mashpia ba nivraim aide masav me sabori barachu, the zenikra nikeva, the lesne migrama klub. So he says that's the difference. He says, what's a zacha? He says, so let's get back to our Gemara. If he says he was always worried that his bed would be facing north to south. So the Rebbe's gonna explain what does it mean north to south. North is Ahava, south is Yira. If your bed is facing north to south, what are you gonna have? You're gonna have Zachar. Zachar, he says, Milashon Zechira, memory. That's where it's stamped upon you, right? It's going to be there for you. And he says, what is a zachar? A zachar is, in the zivug, in the relationship, the zachar is the giver, right? So what do you become? You have banim zacharim. What do you become? You become the giver, right? Your light that you took from your Torah learning and from your tefillah is now going to give over light to others. But if you just went through the motions and you didn't do the mitzvah with ahava and yira, so then when you finish doing the mitzvah, it's left nothing on you. So he says, what's that? It's like a nekeva. Now you're an acceptor. You're still looking to get from somewhere else. That's how he explains the Gemara. V'zeh hanotein mitaso milashon zivug bein tzafon ledarom. What does that mean that you make your bed between north and south? Perush yira nikrat tzafon. Excuse me, fear is called the north. V'ahava nikrat darom, and love is called the south. Havin lo banim zicharim. That means you're going to have male children. Perush bechinat zachar. You're going to be like a male. Shemashpia b'nivraim ayidei ma'asav mishefa baruchu. And what are you going to do? You're going to be mashpia, the shefa. Right, the influence that gets poured into you, you will be able to give over to others. V'gam hu milashon zichira, it's going to be remembered. Nemar umedazos ki toldoseim shel tzadikim ma'asim tovim. Because what's going to happen? All the good, that's what it means to be a tzadik. A tzadik is constantly giving. Umasha amar Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak, what about af ein ishto ma'pales nefalim? So too, your wife won't have miscarriages. Hu ki isha nikreis yira. The woman is also called fear. Vihine kishadam mispalel o usa mitzvah. Uva emtsa bain lo machshavos zaros. Again, this was also an issue that brought up by the Baal Shem Tov. When a person davens, and in the middle of his davens, what happens? He has foreign thoughts.
Right.
Zen nikra nefila. That is falling. Right? Why do people have foreign thoughts, he says? You have foreign thoughts because you weren't properly fear. You didn't have proper awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the foreign thoughts slipped in.
But the Baal Shem Tov said that was okay.
He's taking a different tact here.
Right.
Ki zeu machshavos nefulin mimakum gavoa. Aval kishu oved biyira. What happens when you didn't daven with awe? When you don't daven with awe, what happens? Your mind falls, right? Nofel, from a makom gavoa, from a high place to a low place. Aval kishu oved biyira, but when you serve God with awe, gemura, full, ve'ahava gedola, and great love, azai ein yira shalom me'apeles, hanafale, me'achar shetiba b'baruch baruch. So then, your mind is going to be completely connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's never going to fall. When you believe that there is no place that is empty of him. As soon as the words leave your mouth, what are you going to do? You're going to link up with Hashem. Because the Torah and Hashem are one. What if you're not sure you can reach that madrega? You can reach that leah. Azai kasher atzmo imat tzadikim. So who should you link up with? The tzaddikim, the righteous. V'yaveim kenavsho. You should love them like you love your own soul. V'ayidei ze be'efshar yishaleh gamkin diburel ayidei diburehen. Then your own words will go up through their words. Mipnei ze nikma'a lomar. Kodim ha'tfila. That's why you should say before davening, hareini mikabel alai mitzvah saseh shal v'ahavta l'reyacha kamocha. That's why you should accept upon yourself the mitzvah v'ahavta l'reyacha kamocha. Why? Because this way, if you don't have the fear, at least your words will connect up with someone who does, and they'll be the giver, and you will be able to take from them. So that is his explanation of the Gemara. We saw from Nachum Tversky of Chernobyl, he is steeped in Kabbalistic thinking, clearly influenced by the thought of the Baal Shem Tov, Let Atar Panui Minei, his focus on Machshavos Zaros. The way he formulates things is probably more similar to the formulations of the Magid of Mezrich. But you see here, he takes a cryptic text, turns it into a mystical text, and brings out a lesson, shall we say, in practical Hasidus on our responsibility to link up with Hashem, the perspective of that the light inside of us is the light of the Holy One, blessed be He. It raises up the potential of the human being, right, to be a giver within this world, to be partners with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the creation of the world. And again, it's anti-ascetic in the sense that it wants you to do your mitzvah and then to go out into the world, and now you become a conduit for the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you've linked your own light, which is divine light, up with the light of the Holy One, blessed be He. And it's a very, very creative moment here. And again, we're witnessing in front of our eyes here the development of Hasidic philosophy into what it's going to be. Again, we keep on talking about that the most fruitful period of time, the 19th century, when there's really this explosion of really creative works. But you see here how it's slowly but surely becoming publicized.
It's always tempting for one who's not an initiate,
yeah,
to read into things, even small things that we do, and say, oh, that's where it comes from, right?
Right.
So when you were just saying that, I was thinking, oh, well, if the goal is for us all to become a giver,
yeah,
well, that's why maybe, you know, I'm thinking in my non-initiate kind of way, oh, that's why we have to do it in public. That's why it's preferable, I should say, to pray in public, because everyone can feed off of each other and we're all giving to each other.
Correct. Yes.
As opposed to me just going home and saying, yeah, I mean, that's okay. It's better than not saying it.
Yeah.
It's better I should come here.
For sure he would tell you better to daven with a minion and better to daven with the Rebbe also, and to ask the Rebbe to daven for you.
And it gives me an opportunity to give to everyone else around.
Exactly.
From everyone else.
Exactly. And you know, imagine where we're going when all of us reach that level of dveikus at time. You know, we're giving and taking. We become like the malachim, v'kara zel zevi amar. You know, we're each, you know, giving and taking to one another. It's a very powerful moment if you think about it.
I guess the same thing, Yehesh Rabba Bavura, right? Same thing, right? I mean, it's...
Yeah,
you have to be ready for that moment so that you can...
Yeah, and again, you see here, he's keeping up. He has the Baal Shem Tov's Let Atar Panui Minei, but he also has very much of the Magid's notion of Dveikus, that the Magid really pushed for, of that our goal is not, you know, the what's it called? Remember, the early mystics, the pre-Hasidic mystics were very much into, you know, the proper meditations and everything. Here it's more some of an amorphous, indefinable experience of closeness to the Holy One, blessed be He. I think one of my teachers, Dr. Brill, once called it thinking God. It's a very powerful experience if you think about it. Yeah.
So every time you say something, it raises another question. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you just talked about, I forgot your exact words, but I was thinking of Kavanah, right? So if, you were talking about the pre Hasidic mystics,
yeah,
and they have they were more concerned with, proper preparation, I guess, meditation.
Yeah, there was a meditative technique that went along with it, and Hasidus just doesn't seem to be as interested in that meditative technique.
Because when you were talking, I was thinking of the bed again. You know, I was thinking of, not the bed, having nothing before you.
Yeah, and that's something also as we go through this, that's just something we're all going to have to get used to, which is those type of metaphors are very popular within mystical thinking. They're just very comfortable with it because they've, you know, that's why you're going to get quotes from Shir HaShirim, and that's why you're just going to be very comfortable with that type of thinking, right? He sees bed and he thinks, you know, and you think one thing, he thinks dveikus. Okay, you know, that's what a chassid is going to think of. You know, look bed, dveikus. You know, that's a closeness with the Shechina, l'chadodi, l'kraskala, there you go. You know, it's all about closeness with the Holy One. All right, shkayach, everyone.